Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to a very special Mamba Day episode where we remember the late, great Kobe Bryant, NBA legend, and of course, someone who remains close to the heart of many Hoopers and basketball fans all over the world. Fandom for Kobe Bryant was almost as strong as a religion and remains the same even as he has passed on. And today I am joined by the South Boys, Angelo and Tristan. Angelo, of course, is a diehard Lakers fan. He grew up falling in love with the Lakers, partly because he fell in love with the game of Kobe Bryant. Tristan is a Miami Heat fan, but he, like many, many basketball fans, will know and appreciate the greatness that Kobe had every time he was on the floor. And for me, I wasn't a Laker fan growing up, but I did love Kobe Bryant as just a fan of basketball, but also just the kind of human being and person he was. There was an aura of confidence and greatness to him that was hard to deny, even from a young age for any basketball fan. And of course, I also got to interview Kobe Bryant a few times, got to meet him. And there was no one else like him when you were in the same room as him. It's been, wow, like a year and a half at this point since Kobe Bryant has passed away. We remember him today, 8/24, Mamba Day, in a very special episode. We are uploading this on Spotify, where you can listen to the whole interview, or maybe you're watching this on our video projects. But thank you for joining us today. If you're here, I'm sure our main reason why is because you yourself are missing Kobe Bryant, or you remember the greatness that was always present when he was on the court. So, boys, welcome to today's special. We planned this all of a sudden, but out of respect for greatness, for the game that we love, I think we all agreed to do this right away because we know how special Kobe was as a player and we know how special this day is. So, you know what? We're going to kind of jump right into it. Now, Angelo, from the three of us here, you are the diehard Kobe fan. You were the diehard Laker fan. I believe you did say one time that LeBron will never reach the aura of greatness that Kobe had for you as a Laker fan, right?
I'm not sure I said that, Nabs.
Well, you said somewhere. No, don't backtrack now, bro. That was live and on air. But let's discuss what made you fall in love with Kobe Bryant as a fan. And more importantly, what was it about him that kind of had you wanting more of his greatness?
Yeah, I think, you know, as basketball fans, at some point in our lives, we were bandwagoners, right? So for me, it's the same for me. It's true also for me. I basically grew up watching the Lakers because I grew up with a basketball-oriented family. So my older cousins, they were Laker fans. So I grew up watching the Lakers also. And I kind of just, grew up watching the Lakers, and of course leading the Lakers was Kobe Bryant, and really just watching him play when I was a kid, just watching how competitive he was, just how relentless he was in the game, and you can feel just his passion overflowing whenever he plays. I think it was just love at first sight for me. I mean, I never saw anything like that from any other players. I mean, no disrespect to D. Wade, Carmelo Anthony, to LeBron, his contemporaries back then. But really, aside from me watching many Laker games, supporting the Lakers, Kobe was just built different, as they say, right? For me, it was really love at first sight. And of course, my family had a lot of influence in, you know, supporting the Lakers and supporting Kobe Bryant.
You know what, Nabs? I want to piggyback on this. I don't know how many times you actually told this story on our pod or wherever, but the last game Kobe played, it was about 3 years since I saw Angelo, right? 3 years, 2 years since I saw Angelo. And we made a pact right there. It was me, Angelo, and Jonah. And we said, oh, come on, let's watch it in NBA Cafe in SMO Aura, right? We were there at, 6 a.m.? The parking was still closed. We didn't know if we were allowed to go in. And we were basically just walking around the mall at 7. And we got to NBA Cafe, and we just wanted to do
Yeah, because we knew that there were
it was gonna be packed.
It was gonna be yeah. That's why we went there early.
So we chose the best seats in the NBA cafe, and Kobe just showed out. I will never forget that experience with Angelo and my boy Jonah. Kobe gave us a memory that will last us forever, and I will probably tell our kids about. It's gonna be something that's gonna be etched in me forever. That's a part of me now, and I can't thank Kobe enough for that. And shit, I can't believe he's gone, man.
Let's segue to that. It was crazy because the day he had passed away, I remember my dad coming to my room at like 6:30, 6:45 in the morning. And my dad's not really the biggest basketball fan, you know. In fact, I think it's sort of become like a bane of his existence because myself and my sister were very much into it. It's part of our careers. And it's just so present in the house so often that I think he just got tired of all the shoes squeaking on the floor. But even him, he was really, I think, the first from our family because normally he wakes up the earliest. So he went on his phone, he saw the news, he woke me up, then he woke my sister up. And of course, my sister Nicole is more of a diehard Kobe fan than I am. She's a Lakers fan, diehard Lakers fan, biggest Lakers fan I probably know. And it was just sad. Like at first, the first reaction is it's unbelievable, right? You know, because it's Kobe. And for years, you had heard stories about his work ethic, how he'd get up early in the morning, how he'd compete, how his mind, his will, perseverance were unmatched. And it almost felt like there was an aura of invincibility. The fact, too, that he passed on in an accident that also included his daughter, it just felt like a nightmare, right? Like you didn't want to wake up. Or rather, it was a nightmare you were ready to wake up from. And you're like, yeah, this, I'm dreaming. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And, you know, everything's going to be fine. Because the thought of Kobe not being in this world and just the thought of how he had passed, which until today, you know, makes me cringe in the spine, right? Just because it's so heartbreaking. It was so unbelievable, so shocking. I think even non-Laker fans cried that day. I know I shed a few tears. And I think mostly it's because so many of us have our childhood associated with Kobe Bryant. You know, diehard NBA fans, these are people who grew up watching the game. And back then, we didn't really have League Pass like we do now, or we don't have as many outlets to watch the games consistently. Like back in the day, it was like once, twice a week, right? I believe Solar Sports or Basketball TV eventually came on NBA Premium TV. But before then, the Shaq Kobe days, it was always the Lakers that you'd see on ESPN, Star Sports in the weekend. And you just see Kobe Bryant, the guy with the afro, you know, the tomahawk jams, the clutch jumpers, the attitude about him. He was just so smooth and so suave about how he went with the way he played that it was impossible not to keep your eyes on him. You had to keep watching him because it really felt like an artist at work doing something he was born to do, painting his version of a masterpiece. And I keep thinking to the 2006 series against the Suns. I think that's my favorite Kobe Bryant series ever. I know that it's weird because he won 5 championships and there were other great Kobe moments that were momentous. But I just keep thinking about how he had Smush Parker, I think Sasha Vujacic, Kwame Brown, and a bunch of guys who won't make the Hall of Fame. To be nice, guys who won't make the Hall of Fame. And he was going up against a Suns team with Steve Nash and the Mike D'Antoni. They weren't exactly the 7 seconds or less Suns that season, but they were still pretty damn good. And it was a 2-7 matchup, if I'm not mistaken, or 3-6. So it was clearly an underdog against a favorite. And game 4, overtime, I think there was a jump ball. Kobe gets the ball, dribbles it, snakes his way across the court, you know, goes from left to right, classic Kobe style. Sees his defender off balance, pulls up, mid-range free throw, and you just knew it was going in. And that was just such a superhuman effort for the Lakers to even go up 3-1 that series, considering who Kobe had as teammates, was an image of how great he was and what his potential was. So, you know, I'm definitely missing watching him in action. I miss just hearing his thoughts too. Just hearing his thoughts about the world and present basketball. It's it's still heartbreaking to think about it.
Definitely. On to piggyback on that, was that the game where he shot it over Rajah Bell? I think it was, right?
I believe so. Yeah. Was it Rajah Bell? We'll have to search. But yeah, he did shoot it over someone and did the fist bump celebration after, which I see Angelo smiling now. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to be real, man. I didn't really like him as much because you love to hate him. You love to root against Kobe, especially as a D-Wade fan. They're always getting compared to each other. But at the end of the day, you know it's Kobe Bryant. He's going to bring his A game no matter what. No matter if he has five finger injuries or, I don't know, a broken knee. He'd go out there and give it 100%. And definitely seeing the D-Wade and Kobe mashup growing up really ignited a fire in me, especially when I met Angelo from a young age. I was trying to beat him because he always like, oh, Kobe's better, Kobe's better. No, D-Wade is. Then we always have this argument, and Kobe gave that to us, man. I will never forget that game against D-Wade as well where he hit the game winner.
Yeah.
You know, shit still stings, you know what, man.
You know what I'd never forget is during the big three era of the Miami Heat, they destroyed the Lakers, right? I think they won all but one game. But the one game the Lakers won was when Kobe wore the mask after his nose had been broken by D-Wade in the All-Star game. And I'll never forget. That was like, I think a 2 a.m., 3 a.m. game. You know, one of those classic Sunday afternoon in America, but dead time hours for us in Manila, right? Mm-hmm. And only the diehard fans would wake up for it. So I woke up for it. And I remember waking up, I checked my alarm. I'm like, should I just go back to sleep? Because I have a feeling what's going to happen. I mean, D-Wade broke the guy's nose. And we all know Kobe and his vengeful mindset. But, you know, I still got up.
Have a chip on his shoulder, right?
Yeah, I still got up, still watched the game, and just saw Kobe dominate the heck out of LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. And it was vintage Kobe. Angelo, I'm sure you remember that game too.
Yeah, I definitely remember those games. But yeah, going back to the day that he passed, Navs, you were telling a story about how your dad woke you up in the morning. It was similar to me. It was what happened to me was similar. Also, it was my dad who let me know he woke me up. It was really like 5 in the morning. He woke me up. He came into my room. He woke me up, and then he said, like, you know, patay na si Kobe, helicopter crash. First of all, it was 5 in the morning, so yung unang gising ko was like, why are you waking me up at this hour? And then I quickly realized or heard what he said, like, wait a minute, what? Kobe got into a helicopter crash. So I went outside my room and I saw the TV, and CNN was showing, and it was the image of this, just the horrific image of that helicopter up in smokes. So yeah, and then I just sat down and I was really trying to internalize what happened, or is this really happening? Is this real? It was really one of the most painful days in my life, honestly. I mean, Kobe's my idol. He's my hero. And all of a sudden, you know, he's no longer here. He passed away. So it was really unbelievable, as he said, Navs. And as I recall, I got ready for work. And then in my commute to work, I remember it was Magic 89.9 was playing in the car ride, in the carpool, and it was Mo Twister and those guys in the morning talking about Kobe's legacy, and I really still can't believe it. And then I remember just being sad the whole day, being depressed, like I was not in the mood to work, to do anything. I was just going through social media, seeing all those tributes. I remember just kept refreshing on Twitter, Facebook, just want to see how the fans, how the players, all their tributes. And then I remember there were games that day, right? And as we can see here in the pictures, different teams were paying their tributes, like they were having shot clock violations and 8-second violations, and I just can't help to break or to break down during those times. And yeah, until now, whenever I think about it, that man, Kobe's gone, I still can't believe it. I mean, also the most heartbreaking part of this is, you know, I've realized I'll never get to meet my idol. I mean, Navs, you're very lucky, very blessed that you got to meet Kobe. And really, I think this is a good segue to question or to know, like, how was Kobe like? How was Kobe like in person? What was the story? How did you guys meet? What did you talk about? And as we can see on your background, you have is that a printed, you know, picture of you and Kobe, or you and
Yeah, I painted that shit.
I wish I did. Actually, it was a really thoughtful present from my sisters. In India, we have this tradition. I won't say the Indian word for it anymore, but basically it's a brother-sister day. So their present to me this year was to get a canvas of my interview with Kobe, which I'd been meaning to do ever since I did the interview to begin with. But I don't know why. I just never got to do it, never got to do it. And they did it for me. So shout out to my sisters, Nicole and Krisha, for that. Also, before I answer the question, what you said about Kobe's influence on the young guys, you know, it was so apparent that day. You saw Devin Booker in tears, Trae Young in tears. There was a video, I believe, of LeBron and the Lakers getting off the plane once. I believe they already knew that Kobe passed away. They were informed about it. And then you just saw the emotion from LeBron. I believe he hugged his mom or wife, someone, and then he was breaking down. There were tributes all over the place. I remember Wade going on social media and was just tearing up. Stephen A. Smith on Instagram could barely speak. I had no idea how Woj was able to tweet all the news about, you know, the helicopter crash and what he was hearing, considering he was also quite close to Kobe himself. So he was probably an emotional wreck as well. But yeah, the greatness of someone is so apparent sometimes with how he affects other people, you know, how his legacy is carried on through others. So whenever I'm asked the question, I hate to make this a LeBron Kobe thing, but I'm just using it as context, right? So if someone asks me who's the better player of all time, LeBron or Kobe, my answer is going to be LeBron. LeBron is clearly the superior basketball player. He's the second greatest basketball player of all time. But LeBron never quite matched the impact Kobe had in terms of how other players spoke of him. The way other players spoke of Kobe, like you see it with the Trae Youngs and, you know, even the Chris Middletons, the Giannis and Devin Booker, like we mentioned, it's just so, there's such a deep connection there. And I think as fans, we can kind of understand that too. And Tristan would agree with this too. As a competitor, you know, someone who rooted for a team who went up against Kobe, and that Wade Kobe thing was one of the most serious basketball debates of the 2000s. There was a scary thought about facing Kobe, you know, like when he had the ball and it was late in the fourth quarter, game is close, game is tied, you're just like kind of closing your eyes at that point and you're like, ooh, this guy's going to do something. It might not always go in, but he's going to try his damn hardest. And you know the ref's not going to call a foul on him for his tricks because he's Kobe Bryant, right? He's got the veteran way. And you just know he's got the fadeaway on his bag. He had one of those moves like Jordan where he could get to his spots and you could defend it as well as he possibly could. I mean, Shane Battier wrote a dang thesis about how to defend Kobe Bryant and it still didn't work, right? So, and you just kind of had to pray it wouldn't go in sometimes. And no matter how strong your prayers were sometimes, it just wouldn't work. In terms of being around Kobe, first, I have to say I'm very blessed that I got this opportunity, and I want to thank Nike and Rappler for making that happening. Do you ever get that vibe sometimes that you're in a room, you're in a setup? It could be a party, it could be a wedding, it could be a social event, or, you know, somewhere where a retreat, whatever. But then there's someone who walks in the room and itatagalog ko na sobrang lakas ng dating niya. That it just feels like the weight of the room goes down and you just feel like the aura and everything changed, right? So that was exactly what it was like to interview Kobe Bryant. Now, someone might say, well, duh, he's Kobe Bryant. He's the one you're interviewing. So clearly the weight of the room is going to change, right? But it was just so different because of the way he carried himself. You know, he walked with so much confidence and swagger. And this was his final year. He wasn't anymore the Kobe Bryant MVP, the Kobe Bryant of his prime. He was Kobe in his twilight. But he still walked around the room like he knew he was the coolest guy in the room. And more than anything, I always felt that whenever Kobe was in the room, he knew he was the smartest guy in the room. And it was probably true because this guy, as good as he was physically and talent-wise, his preparation and mental edge over his opponents, I think, really had him stand out from the rest. And you saw that with him when you were fortunate enough to be close to him. It's like he walked around knowing that I'm the wisest guy in this room and I control things here. And not in an obnoxious kind of way, more of a, you know, it is where it is anyway. I might as well acknowledge it in a way, you know. And I have like a story I want to share, but I'll do that later on because first I want to ask you guys, what's your favorite Kobe on court moment? I know there are a lot, but if you guys had to think about your favorite on court moment, for me, it was the game 4 when they went up 3-1 against Phoenix. How about for the both of you?
Do I go first? Angelo, I think you should go first. It's your idol anyway. Go ahead, man.
From the top of my head, I think it has to be me personally, I enjoy every Kobe versus LeBron matchup when they were going at it each other, especially when LeBron was still in the Cavs, you know, when he was not flanked with superstars. So those are the matchups that I enjoyed watching. And I'm sure you guys know the Kobe didn't flinch when Matt Barnes threw the ball in front of Kobe. So that was really a badass moment for Kobe. That's one of my favorite moments. And also, I think the 2010 Game 7 2010, that's maybe one of my favorite Kobe moments because it's my first time to follow the Lakers the whole season 2010 and watch the whole playoffs. I was 13 years old back then. Parang ito yung nagkamalay na ako eh. It was the first time that I watched basketball na may malay na ako. So, yeah, those are my favorite Kobe moments. How about you, Tan?
Honestly, I loved Olympic Kobe. I absolutely loved Olympic Kobe. I'm a huge international basketball fan. I watch every kind of basketball game I can. And seeing Kobe sacrifice all those shots just to get the others going, that's amazing to me. Honestly, I think 2008 Kobe was absolutely a monster. And giving those young guys a chance to shine on that stage really showed how much he wanted to win. Because he's Kobe Bryant. He can just shoot it every time and people won't complain. But no. Kobe said, Pop or Coach K, I want to guard the best guard every night. That shows you a winning mentality. I don't need the shots. I'm going to shoot when we need to shoot. And I'm going to make it anyway. So I'm just going to do my best and guard the best ones. Honestly, that's amazing to me. To sacrifice everything you worked for in the offseason and to see you're working on something else. Give these guys a chance to shine on the world's biggest stage, in my opinion. And oh shit, I think you're hearing my dog's foot. But I absolutely loved Olympic Kobe, man. You have those immortalized moments where he's talking to Luis Scola in his native language, and he gets heated. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, you get heated over a game where it's pretty much over. But you're pretty still goddamn trash talking. That's amazing to me, man. Also, I just want to go back a bit to the story about his death and how we all experienced it. I actually experienced it the same way you guys did. I woke up, everybody eats breakfast at my house. And when I got down, I just checked my phone. Kobe Bryant recently passed away with his daughter, Gigi. I was like, I don't want to believe it yet. And then when my dad confirmed it, my sister confirmed it, I just went back up. And you see this on the front of my bed right here? I just stopped for like 2 minutes and I started crying. I don't know why he was never my idol, but he made damn good impact in my life. And shit, when he passed away, I was heartbroken for like a good week, dude. I don't even know why. I would just remember Kobe and tears would just slowly come down my face. Right. Yeah, dude. Kobe, Olympic Kobe was a different beast.
Also to add, Navs, I forgot to mention, of course, Olympic Kobe also. He hit those big shots against Spain in that gold medal game. Then, of course, the obvious performances, like 63 points in three quarters, 81-point game, 60 points in his final game. Those are also my favorite Kobe moments.
For sure, for sure. That 60-point game against Utah, there was a moment where I think he had gone to like 58 or maybe 60 already too, and there was like one or two more defensive possessions. And Gordon Hayward, this was pre-All-Star Gordon Hayward, okay? Pre-bulked-up Captain America Steve Rogers Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is taking the ball out. And poor guy, Kobe just goes up to him and gives him like a snarl, like, you know?
Poor Utah overall.
So I'm like, damn, bro. But then it was his final game. There's a quote from Shaq that game too that really stood out. Like, I told the motherfucker to get I told the guy to get 50, motherfucker got 60. And that was just so hilarious. That was so Kobe too about him, right? Even if he took like, I think that was, did he take 50 shots to get the 60 points?
Yeah, I think he did, right?
Yeah, but it was one of those 50 shots games where you're not like, what, the guy took 50 shots? It was like, of course the guy took 50 shots, man. Come on.
They were basically letting him shoot everything. I mean, every play, they were giving it to him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he didn't have his legs in some of those last shots anymore, too. He was, like, arming it all the way, and he was still making some. And they got the win, too. I think Utah was up double digits that game, and, like, Kobe got to 60. He willed the team to victory, and it was just incredible. You know, it was
we
so
were going
Kobe.
Crazy in that time.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure.
He actually had a bad first quarter, if you remember, right? He wasn't having the best ones.
I believe that game, too. I had a friend who went to watch live in LA, you know, back when you could still travel. And the tickets were, like, more expensive than a finals game even. So that's how special it was. Like, he knew there was a show going on that night, and he made sure that he was the main act, and he bowed out in style, Mamba out and everything. I want to shift topics, though, a little bit. I know this might be a little rude to laugh at, Angela, especially because you're a Lakers fan, so I don't want to bring up memories.
Go ahead,
but do you remember that first Laker game after Kobe died against Portland? Where there was the whole pregame memorial and remembrance of Kobe. LeBron made a speech, even all of them wore Mamba jerseys. Mm-hmm. And the popular belief was that the Lakers were gonna win that game, right? Because for Kobe, how could they not? But then when you thought about it too, it was like they're emotionally a wreck, right? It just happened. So it's hard to envision them winning a game against a good team. Now they did win the championship, I think.
But they won, yeah.
Inspired.
I was about to say.
I don't know if the Heat were... Nah, just kidding. I won't do that for this episode. But I'll never forget how the Blazers won that game because Lillard was clutch. And people in social media right after were like, you know, screw you, Dame. You should have lost that game. You should have lost that game on purpose. You're saying you love Kobe, but you won that game. And I'm just there cracking up. I think that was a perfect image of fandom. Just that it was almost like a religion how people followed Kobe, right? And they were so faithful to him that they got mad at Lillard for winning the game, which is what Kobe would have wanted Dame to do. Exactly. Kobe, the competitor, you know, go for the win. But I think that's just such an interesting and funny way to kind of realize how big his following is. And I'm sure Angela could attest to that too.
Yeah, but as you said, Navs, didn't matter. They won for Kobe in the Black Mamba jerseys, right? They wore that in the bubble in the playoffs.
So they won the in game tribute. 5, Black Mamba, but they weren't able to win. They won in the Laker
white jersey. Yeah, the Danny Green shot.
Yeah, the Danny Green shot.
But they did win every game with the Mamba jerseys before that, right?
Up to like that
they,
point.
They had like a good-ass streak. Like when they were wearing those Mamba jerseys, it's like Kobe-infused Anthony Davis all over again. And
dude, Anthony Davis was the best Laker in the 2020 championship run. I still believe that. He was a beast in offense and defense. But let's talk about Kobe here a little bit too. Tristan, what was your favorite Wade-Kobe battle?
Shit, man. I'm gonna be honest and say it's a game winner he hit over D-Wade. It was an amazing game. It was a good game. It was coming down to the wire. And you kind of felt like it was going in anyway. D-Wade had a good contest on that shot. But it's Kobe. It's Kobe. And when that went in, I was so mad. I was so mad. And
But of course it went in. Yeah.
D-Wade said that, right? It's Kobe.
Yeah, exactly. And what do you expect, man? It's Kobe. So when that went in, I was like, really? You guys, everybody in the building knew where the ball was going and you still let him shoot it. What the hell? And then history was made, man. I can't say anything about it. It's a good shot. You can say it's a banker, but you didn't call bank. Whatever, man. It's Kobe. It's going in.
And also the iconic Mike Breen on the call there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And also, it's a shame that the Heat and the Lakers never faced off in the finals. You know, Wade never met Kobe in the finals. LeBron also never faced Kobe in the finals.
What would happen if it was a LeBron James-led Cavs team versus a Kobe-led Lakers team?
Yeah, well, it would have happened, but Dwight Howard got in the way, right?
Hedo Turkoglu got in the way.
Hedo Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis. Those Magic teams were badass, though, in fairness to them. They were they had a nice little run going for them. You know, my favorite thing to laugh at sometimes, though, is that I genuinely think Paul Pierce believed that he was as good or better than Kobe Bryant. Now, okay, to Pierce's defense, it was that kind of arrogance and ego that played a part in making Pierce a great player. Because Paul Pierce is going to be in the Hall of Fame, right? Now, he ain't better than Wade, like he said he was. He's definitely not better than LeBron James. And he sure as hell... What did Draymond Green say, guys? They don't love you like they do Kobe.
He thought he was getting a farewell season, bro.
Savage as all hell. Yeah, for sure. But definitely, Kobe was... Now, I think it's also important to mention, too, Kobe wasn't perfect. He made his mistakes, too. You know, there was a case in Denver all those years ago. And, of course, there were reports about him and his wife. Really, that was a lot of the... There was also criticism about how he wasn't a great teammate. At this point, a lot of us know, at least in general, what happened with Shaq. We knew that he pushed players. Well, Michael Jordan also pushed players, and Kobe got his inspiration from watching Jordan. So he wasn't perfect. He had these flaws. Although there was also the comment about that was hurtful to the gay and lesbian community. But overall, I think the fact that he was willing to learn from it, he made the efforts to learn and become a better person. And he wasn't shy to admit his wrongdoings. He wasn't afraid to talk about it in certain media interviews too. Not all interviews, of course, but he did bring it up in others. So that's part of, I think, what makes Kobe interesting. It's that he's not this perfect godlike figure that fell from the heavens, right? And he never acted like one. He knew he was human. He knew he made mistakes. And he knew that he had to take the steps to rectify those. And he did that. And ultimately, too, it helped him grow into the kind of person that made fathers want to hashtag girl dad on their social media all over the place, right? Even if not all of them know what being a girl dad actually means. But that's the cultural impact that someone like Kobe Bryant has. Guys like you, Angelo, you, Tristan, and myself, we see what he did in terms of his preparation and competitiveness and how he wanted to excel at everything he did. I mean, winning prizes in different fields after basketball, and that just inspires you to strive more and more, and it's part of the magic of Kobe Bryant.
I mean, I totally agree with you, man. Kobe, he's a person. He knows he's a person. He's willing to learn from his mistakes. That's what makes him great, in my opinion. On and off the floor, he was willing to learn from anybody. He was willing to converse with filmmakers, writers who helped him create the short story, which, oh my God, every time I see, I can't even finish it, man. I just get sad. But also in the basketball court, he's a workhorse. He knows what he needs to work on. He knows what he needs to do. And that just speaks for itself, man. I would love to talk to someone who's able to realize, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm not the best at this, but I can get better. I love talking to people like that where they want to learn new things rather than being closed-minded and just saying, oh, no, I already know stuff about this and I'm not going to change it. It's easier to speak to people and it's easier to gravitate towards people like that rather than just being closed-minded and not changing anything about yourself. That's going to be just a hard thing to do anyway. But Kobe, if ever I was going to describe him in one word, it would be evolving. He was never satisfied with whatever he just knew. He was always searching for something to get better at and something to get to actually know more about. So, yeah, definitely, you know, I agree with you.
Yeah, and, you know, Kobe was asked, like, what's Mamba mentality about? And he said, like, along the lines of, you know, it's constantly trying to improve on yourself. And that's what he did all his career. Like, you know, we forget that Kobe was terrible in his rookie season. He was not really the best rookie. It was Allen Iverson. It was Ray Allen. It wasn't until his second, third season that he turned into the player that we know, right? So it was really about improving. And as you said, Navs, he's flawed. And nobody, no player, no human is perfect. Even Jordan has his flaws, as we saw in The Last Dance, right? His big inspiration was Jordan. And again, just trying to improve, learning from his mistakes, just working his ass off. Like, yeah, I did something wrong and I'm trying to make it right. And it goes in on the court and also off the court, right? And I think it's also parang sayang talaga yung post NBA career niya. I mean, you saw the blueprint that he was on to bigger things. I think he was on to, like, influence people, the youth, women's basketball. I think he had the potential to have a bigger career outside of basketball. I mean, he's just 40. His life is just getting started after his career in basketball. And I think that's also a shame that he won't be able to just complete all of his plans and just complete his legacy.
Before we continue, too, I want to say that our heart goes out also to the other people who died in that terrible helicopter crash a year and a half ago, January 2020. It wasn't just Kobe and Gigi. There were other parents with their kids there, too. And just the thought of replaying it, it's so heartbreaking, so terrible. Also reminds us about how quickly everything can change in life, how we gotta appreciate every second while we have it with our loved ones, you know, having a roof over our heads, you know, having food on the table, having water to drink, the simple things like that. And it's crazy. It's still just so insane. Like, as a writer, I try to find the words to kind of describe things or put things in perspective, events, whether real life, you know, in the past, what could happen in the future, and just trying to wrap my head around this and trying to explain it, make sense out of all of it. I couldn't do it then. I still kind of can't do it now, because if you kind of want to believe there's good in the world, that you want to believe that there are happy things in the world, then it contrasts with the thought of Kobe and Gigi passing away the way they did. just heartbreaking about it. And I think it's something that many of us will never quite wrap our heads around. It's still traumatizing to this day. You know, it's traumatizing to wake up in the morning and check your phone and you see a crash. It could be a car crash or could be a boat crash, or I mean, could be a helicopter crash, a plane crash. It's just all of it. It's different now ever since this incident of what happened to him in Gigi. And the flip side, though, it reminds us that we do have the responsibility to enjoy life every single second, enjoy the present while we have it, because the past is done and we can take lessons to learn from that. The future is yet to come. Even if we have to prepare for it, the only thing we really have is the present moment. You know, so if you're listening to a song in the in your car on the way home and you like it, you know, jam to it for 3 minutes, forget your issues, forget your problems, and listen to the song. Let it enter your soul. Let it ignite your heart. Let's say you have just 10 minutes with your loved one to catch up. Say, hey, what's up? How are you? Make sure you tell them you love them. Make sure you tell them you care for them and you've been thinking about them. So I think that's the best lessons really we can learn about what happened. Back to the whole competitive spirit though between Kobe and Jordan. A lot of guys, when they see Michael Jordan, they should think, oh, this guy is great. I'm gonna bow in his presence. I'm just gonna watch him and see what I can learn. I think I read in a book somewhere where Phil Jackson mentioned that when Kobe saw Jordan, a young Kobe tells Jordan straight up, you know, I could beat you, right? And at first glance, you know, boomer mindset, you would think, yabang naman ito, you should be humble, should have humility, yada, 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 right? But then I think to us, the newer generation, that kind of confidence is what you want to show. That kind of confidence is what you want to have. Not because you want to show you're superior to other people, but because you want to show you have enough belief and faith in yourself that you could accomplish anything the way Kobe thought at a young age that he could defeat Michael Jordan. Now, it would have never happened. Let's get that straight. Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. But the fact that Kobe had that belief, and I think he could have given Jordan a challenge, speaks to how great he really was.
To be honest, Nabs, I think Kobe can take MJ. I mean, I grew up with Kobe. So I never really saw Michael Jordan play. I never felt his presence until I watched the documentary. Well, we all saw highlights growing up, but I grew up with Kobe. And that's the problem with old heads today where, oh, yeah, it was better back then. It was better that. No. It's by generation. Okay, so I think if I'm a betting man, I'm not really a good betting man, I'd put my money on Kobe just because I saw him. I saw him, how he took care of himself on and off the court. And seeing the Kobe, in loving memory of Kobe Bryant during the Last Dance documentary, that hit different, man. That episode with the All-Star game showing everybody in the East locker room talking about Kobe Bryant, that just speaks volumes to you. That everyone in that room is a future Hall of Famer, an all-star during that era, and all they wanted to talk about was that young kid, Kobe Bryant, who wants everything. And I don't know who said it, actually, but that kid, Kobe, he doesn't wait for the game to come to him. He goes out Jordan and gets said it, that. Mm. Right? And that just speaks volume, man. I would love to see, like, a prime Kobe, prime Jordan. That would be interesting. I would pay good money. I would pay probably my life savings to just experience that from full court. You know, I mean, front court. I would love to see that. What about you, Angelo?
Yeah, we got a glimpse of that Kobe versus Jordan battle in that All-Star game, 1998. And Kobe was the leading scorer for the Western Conference in his second season in that game. So, yeah, I think he gave, you know, Jordan a tough time during that game. But yeah, that's one of the greatest what if in NBA history. Like, what if, you know, prime Kobe faced up with prime Jordan? And I think also it's Kobe's greatest asset or strength, and also the greatest weakness or the case against his you know, legacy and status in the game, because he wanted to be like Mike so bad. So that's a good thing. Like, he's the closest to Jordan, right? But also the bad thing is he just copied Jordan. He just copied his his game, everything. I mean, I think Kobe had the tools, of course, had the mentality to be the greatest player, to surpass Jordan, but he just focused on like being like Jordan. Of course, that generation grew up watching Mike, and they all wanted to be like Mike, and Kobe for me is the closest to Mike. And we have like a player in LeBron where it's just a different game to him. LeBron is just a different player, right? He is unique. And I think, you know, Kobe had the tools and the mindset to be that player, to be that transcendent player. But again, it's his greatest strength, and also it's the greatest case against his legacy that he was too much like Mike.
That's very interesting, for sure. You know what reminds me of that Last Dance episode too, was how Jordan was just straight up told his teammates, you know, that Laker kid's going to try to take everybody one-on-one. And this was before Kobe had become a champion yet. But Jordan, you know what they say, right? Great recognizes great. And these two definitely are great. Probably the greatest ever in some people's books. And that wouldn't be a bad case, but for sure. And we're going to remember Kobe the rest of our lives. I'm certain of it. We're going to remember the impact he made, not just on the basketball court too, but how he carried himself, the swagger he had, the class he exuded. I always thought Loki was great at fashion too, Kobe Bryant. You know how a lot of the young cats nowadays, they'll come with like random mixes of colors and designs. You see Russell Westbrook, you know, dressing up like a photographer, going to games, right?
Also showing underboobs.
Yeah, yeah. See, Kobe was so he was simple with how he dressed up. It was a classic Italian suit, a long sleeve shirt sometimes, you know, or a hoodie jacket. But it was the way he wore it too, the way he carried himself, that was like, damn, this guy knows how to dress up, man. This guy knows what he's doing. And that's really ultimately, when I think of Kobe Bryant's mindset, that's really what comes to mind. It was that confidence and belief and faith in one's own abilities and potential that goes beyond words can give it justice.
Definitely, man. I mean, after his retirement, Kobe went on to do a lot of shows as well. I remember the podcast where it was, I think, Knuckleheads, right?
Right. And
I couldn't stop looking at Kobe's shirt. I don't know why he wore a plain ass shirt. And I said, that's a perfect shirt for a perfect guy, man. I don't know why, but I kept looking at it like, can I wear a shirt like that? Probably not, because I'm not Kobe. But if you come to think about it, it's just, if I'm not mistaken, it's a plain white or plain gray shirt. That's just Kobe to you, I guess. But fuck, man, I can't explain it.
Simple.
Yeah, in that episode, right? I think Quentin Richardson, and Knuckleheads, they were saying like Kobe's like the real life Bruce Wayne. He was, you know, coming in helicopter and that. And speaking of style, Navs and Tan, I don't know if it's just me, but walang bias, no bias here. I think the Kobe line, the signature shoe, it's such a shame that Nike didn't.
Don't say that shit, man. We might get sponsorship, bro. I need that Nike sponsorship.
Yeah, but no bias. I think Kobe's signature line is the best out of all the signature athletes Nike has. Do you feel the same way, guys?
You know, I have a funny story too. And by the way, to answer your question, I do like the Kobe's more than the LeBrons. And I think those two are the Jordans are a tier above everyone. And really,
well, that's
everything.
A different brand. Yeah. That's a different conversation. Yeah. But
So when I interviewed Kobe in LA, that was about 2 weeks after Nike had announced that they would sign LeBron James to a lifetime deal that I think was worth maybe they didn't really give a figure, but the estimate was like it would reach $1 billion, right? And we were told literally like 10 minutes before the interview, guys, please do not ask Kobe his thoughts about LeBron getting a lifetime deal from Nike. I'll never forget that. That was so funny. And then
a guy from Nike said,
I don't remember actually. I'm not sure if it was someone from Nike or it was one of the management team. I don't think it was someone from Nike. It might have been someone from the organizers of the event who was outsourced or something. But we were just told, I think more also just to kind of tell the media, it was more of a warning, like don't ask any controversial. Don't ask controversial questions. So what I did instead was ask Kobe Bryant about lumpia and Manny Pacquiao and visiting the Philippine Islands. And he did say, so it was so funny too. If I can tell the story now, I was a nervous wreck. Okay. You gotta understand at this point, I had just turned 23 years old. Right. So I'm relatively new to media and I'm trying not to make any mistakes. I'm trying not to screw up. You know, this whole process was, it was nerve-wracking because I had to get a visa in like 10 days, 12 days.
And so Raptor sent you, Nabs?
It was a Nike. It was Nike. Long story short, I had some friends in Nike and they talked about maybe not really teaming up, but sending me to LA to do a feature on Kobe Bryant because the new shoe was releasing. And thankfully to Raptor, they did allow me to go. I'm thankful to them for that. Where was I? So I had my breakfast, heavy breakfast. I go to the area. We were given a tour somewhere near Staples Center first. Like I'm wide-eyed, right? And then we finally get to, it's like an art gallery in downtown. It's a beautiful art gallery. And there's media from different parts of Asia, from the United States, from Europe. And we were told we all have our turns. We have about 15 minutes each with Kobe. And so I'm just there and I'm nervous as all hell. And the guy walks in and they tell me, so you're going first. And I'm like, hold up. Whoa. So I got like one minute to get everything ready because you don't want to keep Kobe Bryant waiting, right? I mean, God forbid. So then he gets in, he smiles. Like I say, he walks in the room with all the confidence in the world. And I'm like, oh, hello, Mr. Bryant. Nice to meet you, man. And I'm just there. I'm so nervous. And I think the first 2 minutes, I was like, you know, it's so hard to explain. It's just like everything's coming at a rush. Like you have all these questions, but you want to make sure you ask the right questions. Mm. At the same time, you're aware of the fact a live stream is going on. So if you mess up one time, you're screwed. You know, you're screwed. Mm. But he was so smooth about it. He was so nice. And I remember I was holding the shoe too, and he got the shoe from my hand. And I'm like, yep, all yours. You know? And then
it was the Kobe 11, right? Judging
beautiful one too. And so he's explaining it and he explains it so smoothly, different level. It kind of like he made the interview his own and I only realized it towards the end. And that's what I'm telling you guys. This guy's a smooth motherfucker. Okay, this guy's a smooth motherfucker, you know? And let's blurt that out, by the way. Let's beep that out. So he's so smooth. And he made the interview. And I'm like, dang, your boy just got played. But like, I'm good about it because I got tips about what to do in the future. And after the interview, I'm in my head. I'm like, oh my God, man, did I screw up? Should I check social media? How people reacted? Did they like it? Did people comment? Whatnot? I was thinking about all these things. And I'm not sure if it was just a coincidence, but I'm a believer that sometimes, things don't just happen. I mean, things do happen for a reason. Some things aren't just coincidences. So the Kobe like goes to me and he like offers to shake my hand and he was like, good job. And like, damn, like I'm a nervous wreck. I'm thinking I screwed up 10 different ways. And this guy goes to me. He didn't have to do it, but he goes to me and he says, you did a good job. And then he also says, I'll see you in Manila. And true enough, about 5-6 months later, I got to interview him again in Shang. There was an event and man, I just don't have any other words to explain. It was so special. And for him to do that later on in his career, we heard more and more about how he tried to uplift others, you know, try to train different players, improve their craft and help others along the way. And for him to do something like that, to go out of his way, I know it sounds simple, but not all athletes do this, let alone NBA players who are sort of larger than life. And he was larger than life. But for him to make a simple act like that, you know, to go to a reporter, a newbie reporter, and be like, you did a good job, see you in Manila. That was such a, I don't even have the words for it. It was just such a dope thing to do.
I'm also speechless, Naps. We're speechless, me and Tan. I mean,
I'm going to be
that
honest.
That experience. Yeah, go, Tan.
I've never been so jealous of you, ever. Jesus Christ. Right, Angelo? That's amazing.
What about me, Tan? I would kill. Well, yeah, that's just true. Metaphorically speaking, I would kill for a chance to talk to Kobe. And yeah, maybe I would be a nervous wreck also. Maybe I wouldn't say a word, but just getting to shake his hand, just getting to talk to him. Yeah. I mean, wow.
You know, it's crazy. But this has been so fun, guys. Really fun. Let's wrap it up here. Angelo, you are the diehard Laker fan. You were the diehard Kobe fan. So let's let you wrap it up. If you had to describe Kobe just in one word, what word would you use? And the floor is yours, buddy.
Oh, just one word. First thing that comes to mind is really legendary, as he wrote on Devin Booker's sneakers, right? Just be legendary. But I would also like to say that, you know, Mamba mentality, it's more than just a basketball thing. It's become my motto. It's become a way of life. It's become my philosophy. So if that's what I try to remember Kobe by, I do not, as much as possible, try to think about how he tragically passed away. I just think about all his influence, all the good stuff that he did, the lessons that he taught us, both on the court and off the court, right? Just Mamba mentality. It's a way of life, just constantly trying to improve on yourself in all aspects. It's not just about basketball. It's not just about sports. It's just, it turned into a way of life really for me. So Mamba mentality, guys. Mamba out.
Awesome. To everyone who listened or is watching, thank you so much. Shout out, as always, to our prod guy, Ron, for doing a great job. And shout out to Angela and Tristan for joining me tonight. A24, Kobe Bryant Day. And if you ever need some inspiration with whatever you're doing in your lives right now, like Angela said, it's simple. Be legendary.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.